Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to the French Connections Thursday edition. It is the sixth day of August 2009. My name is Darrell Bradford-Smith. Great to have you all here with me for another important broadcast of the French Connection and co-sponsored by the TIU, which is the Information Underground, infounderground.com. A great forum, a great radio programming, a lot of interesting stuff going on over there, ladies and gentlemen. I urge everybody to go and surf that website, and interesting stuff growing in leaps and bounds. We've had about 100%, 50% growth in that in TIU Radio for over the last few months, and it's fantastic to see it. A lot of truth being told, pure play work. It's what we've been calling on a lot of people out there to consider our work pure play. And you know, when we take a look at some of these other people involved in this so-called truth movement, we find out they've all got agendas that move people away from the facts, and we will never do that to you. We've got an important discussion to go on today with, of course, my friend and collaborator, Abner or Noel, and we're also going to be bringing on, hopefully, in the second half of this program, Mohammed Rafiq to talk about the financial system. We are seeing some serious meltdowns in certain markets, and Mohammed has a lot to say about that. I've discussed with him privately some things, so it's going to be very interesting. But I want to get right to my co-host today, my guest, Noel. Noel, are you with me?
Yes, Darrell. Thanks. Nice to be doing the show again.
Well, you know what? It's at the point where a lot of people do appreciate our discussions because we're both up on the news events. We read through all of this stuff every day, and we can people trust our work. They trust the take we have on things. What I've been seeing here is they're trying to ramp up this this flu virus nonsense, but it seems to me the real sickness is going to come from people taking vaccines, not from this false reporting of everybody being sick. You know, the people who have been coming down with this flu in Britain, they said it's just like a little cold. It's like getting a little cold. Now, why would we be at stage six pandemic for people getting a little cold? What the reason, I think, and maybe you'll second this, is to convince everybody that is poorly informed to go and get these shots that they got lined up for them so they can make billions. And I think once those shots are in your body, you're going to be set up for more sickness. And so what do you think?
Well, Darren, more scare tactics. You know, anywhere up to 2 million people a year around the planet die of the flu. And it's interesting, you'll see, you know, one died in Israel and, you know, one died in Mexico and there was two and one in Ireland and the Swiss have 500 sick and maybe one died in France and, you know, maybe one in Sweden. And, you know, these stories are put out in a daily basis and, you know, they're on the local radios and more scare tactics. I mean, the flu is a killer anyway, Darrell. And they do come up with their vaccines every year. I keep away from them. I don't know anyone that's avoided it. You know, it's for the young, it's for the old, it's for the sick, it's for the pregnant mothers. And, you know, but this one, you know, if you read or listen and or watch in the alternative community, alternative movement of news, you know, there's talk about forced vaccination. Now, this isn't, you know, Darrell, a conspiracy theory. We have Sarkozy saying he was going to get everyone in France. So
that's right. So it's not a theory, is it?
It's not really a theory. And, you know, the you know, different places around are saying, well, you know, the medical... different medical departments in the States were saying, or I was reading today, was, I mean, they're not saying that it won't be a forced vaccination in the States. And, you know, well, we'll wait till we get on to it with Mohammed about the financial. Great cover for the bankers.
Well, it is, and they're going to get a lot of their policies ramrodded through the system. And, you know, Greece just came out this past week, I think it was Monday, they came out saying they're going to force the entire population of Greece to take the vaccine, which, again, that mirrors what Sarkozy said about a month and a half ago, 6 weeks ago. He said he was going to try and get every person in France to take it mandatory. Now, these kind of proclamations are very scary, considering what they've got inside this vaccine, you know, petroleum-based squalene, which a couple of medical doctors have just come out with research saying that medical squalene made from petroleum-based, because we have squalene squalene in our body naturally, but it's not from oil. It's a natural form of squalene. But the squalene that comes from petroleum causes your immune system to attack your body. Now, the reason they say that they use this is because they want your immune system to challenge the vaccine and become an adjuvant to cause irritation to your immune system. And they say that it causes you to be better acquire the vaccine. Well, this squalene that they use is what they have rooted back to Gulf War syndrome. And also, it is also known to cause sterilization in women. What it does is that the squalene causes the body to attack the human eggs in a woman's body and causes a sterilization process. And this, doctors are coming out saying this now. So they may have a multifaceted approach to killing us and destroying our future. It remains to be seen. All of that stuff is needs to be sussed out, but I'm reading it. It sounds like an agenda they would probably be pushing forward. Are you reading anything else from you're moving around the net?
Well, Darren, the comment I made, I'm not an absolute not a medical advisor, but what I've deducted myself was most of the stuff that I've read on the internet and different clips and some documentaries that I've seen. But is saying exactly the same thing, maybe not the same, using the same wording, but that there's no, this isn't good, this isn't natural, we don't need it. But then again, they're not really battling, besides government employees, government medical employees, where it's basically a war between the alternative movement and mainstream media for this. They're kind of pushing away the climate change and, this is, we're freezing, we're getting warm, we're into this. Big Pharma stands to gain a lot of money. Big Pharma is very influential in Washington, D.C.
Yep.
More
yep.
politics and money, and people, some people will die of flu, and maybe it's their destiny. But injecting something isn't, I don't think it's going to be the cause. I wouldn't do it from what I've researched over the last 5 or 6 years. I wouldn't anyway. And I persuade people not to, but people do what they're going to do.
Well, the next subject I'd like to talk to you about, and I think this is one of the most important ones out there, is this false Obama birth certificate. Of course, that was put out there by all the usual suspects, and this guy, Phil Berg, who's been a liar from the beginning. This guy's been all over the false side of the 9/11 truth movement, but doing, saying lies and nonsense from the beginning. But this Obama thing, it seems as though the administration and the criminals behind our government put this out there to discredit us from looking into the actual documents behind his birth. Because now what it's going to look like, once everybody has figured out, and they have now, that was a fraudulent document, they're going to say, see, all of those people are crazy. There's nothing wrong with Obama's birth certificate. Here's the rub. They still have not shown the original birth certificate of Obama. Even after this new fraud comes out, it doesn't matter. The real original from his supposed Hawaiian birth has still not been shown. So we still don't know the documents about his birth. What we have seen is a receipt copy, which is not an original. And so, but everybody's going to be looking like a knucklehead if they ask for that next step. This is a very brilliant move by the criminals to push us away from ever looking at that. But I don't think it's really an issue we're ever going to win. And I think it's just going to be divisive. I think what you've said before is to stay a pure play, keep pounding away at 9/11. We've got them by the neck on that one. We know who did it. We've got the proof. The evidence is clear. We just got to spread it out further into the mainstream. And, Obama, so maybe one day somebody will come clean with one of his records and we'll get the guy. But that's some time off in the future. 9/11 is now. We've got them dead to rights. What do you think?
Well, I'm still going to refer to him as Barry. I think he was born that. That's my personal opinion that he is a Kenyan citizen. And it's an issue now that's... It has become mainstream. Lou Dobbs and what about the lawyer? This lady that's over there in Israel, Katz or whatever her name is. She's I think she sells wine in her spare time and homes, and she probably fixes cars as well. And she's. with WorldNet Daily, and they kind of have taken over. And yeah, and I'd say there is a fair amount of, I mean, I do believe personally, without a shadow of a doubt, that there's too much with and with Barry's you know, defending lots of these cases in the court system in the US, that there is something to it. I mean, unless they're making something of it and then to come out and say there you go, but I don't see what the point is. This has been around for a while, probably you know, more got to do with the Jewish influence either for or against them. I was reading one there, Daryl. This Jewish congressman who's one Cantor, who's one of the most highly, you know, visible, outspoken critics of Obama, is he's heading to that little place in the Middle East next week. And the story was from Washington. One of Obama's top congressional critics said Friday that he hoped to reassure staunch U.S. ally Israel of unbending U.S. support during a visit to the Middle East next week. So, you know, we get on to, you know, from 9/11, Washington D.C. has been more and more overtaken, if that is possible. And here we have people calling Obama an anti-Semite, and he's not. And then they're talking about self-hating Jews with Rahm Emanuel and what's the sort of guy's name?
David Axelrod.
Axelrod, that's the guy. These are self-hating Jews. But hold on, the Jews are saying they're self-hating, and they're supposed to be the self. They seem to be absolutely controlling the whole voice range in Washington. It's basically they say jump, and everyone else says how high.
That's right. And you know what the argument is now is that, see, everybody, and we, so I talked about this with you, oh, 2 months, 3 months ago, when he did his Middle East tour, that they were going to make him out to be not a friend of Israel, fraudulently, but in reality, all the policies in favor of Israel were going to go ahead just as planned. And so on the press and in the front of everything, it's going to be Obama's challenging Israel's this and that. And that's when that video came out, when there were all these Israelis in the street were calling him all kinds of names and all that. It was a perfect setup to make this look like Obama was hated by Israeli higher-ups. But the fact is, this guy's doing everything in his power to make sure Israel gets everything it wants, including, you know, of course, his selection for the replacement on the Supreme Court was Sotomayor. And Sotomayor is clearly, in my view and in the view of many people who've researched it, a Murano Jew. So what we've got now is we've got a gun-stealing socialist communist Supreme Court justice coming, and she's absolutely, in my view, a Murano Jew, much like our friend Mr. Rivera over there. And she's going to be taking a position against gun ownership and all kinds of stuff. I mean, this woman is a communist. It's pretty clear from her record.
Just, you know, getting into this, I think there are, you know, from more and more that I get into it, that we shouldn't, I say to myself, Darryl, you can take whatever way you want. I'm trying to say everything that happens isn't for Israel. Not everything that happens is for Israel, because the Zionists will use Israel, you know, as well. I think they have different plans for different places.
We have
Barry Shatero, Obama, a Marxist, communist, complete socialist. He's going to convert America into the communist system, which will probably, you know, be their ideal for America. But on the other side, we're going to have this little illegal country in the Middle East that is will be racially pure. They'll be the only country in the world that will only be themselves. I mean, they're, you know, quickly and forcibly kicking out the Palestinians, besides murdering them and starving the rest of, you know, 1.5 million, fuel shortages, medical shortages, you know, simple things like crutches and wheelchairs, Ireland, and insulin, and, you know, simple things, penicillin, this will be the place that the crooks will all go back to. It'll be racially pure for them, if you consider. I don't think that they're the same race at all, that there is a slightly separate plan for Israel. While let Europe go down, let America, it seems to be. I mean, I don't know how America can stop a revolution. I'm not so sure.
Well, you know, Sotomayor being part of this conspiracy, but her job is, I think, is to protect the implosion and then the ultimate martial law control in the United States by codifying gun confiscation into law by making the color of law be in favor of rounding people up, and she will be the swing vote because basically it'll be a 5-4 vote in the direction of socialist dogma, and her selection to the court. It doesn't surprise me, but I mean, if you take a look at this woman and then put any group of Israeli women of her age beside her, you can see that this woman has absolutely got roots back into the Jewish community. No doubt about it. And the name Meir and Sotomayor, this woman's heritage is Murano Jew. There's no doubt. Now that's come out anecdotally, and some other people have been doing some research. But here we are again, a top level, 2% of America is Jewish, and again we start taking a look at Obama's entire administration, our Supreme Court with Bader Ginsburg and this woman, and I mean here we go. We've got not 2% representation, Noel. We've got complete an utter dominance of the American government, much the same as they did to Russia after the Russian Revolution. So we're heading down a very dangerous path, to probable violence in America. They're putting this horse in Milwaukee out there that, unemployment is slowing down. And I mean, people who believe that need to have their head examined.
Well, Darryl, you're saying there we have them by the you-know-what for 9/11. Let's remember one of the issues was all of these Jews, these Mossad Israelis that were working in the shopping malls in selling helicopters all around the United States. And this has been covered by some of our buddies, Rye Dawson and ProThink went in recently when they hooked up and they videotaped Israelis, spoke to them, and there's several other videos that are out. But now these are the guys, male and female, and they're forcibly trying to sell Israeli cosmetics, and now it's come out, Darryl, that these people are open IDF operatives that are training the local Jewish factions in the United States. They have their own army base, and they're trying to cohort and corrupt and try to get the young American Jews to work with them as spies in the United States. This isn't mentioned anywhere around mainstream. And apparently all the buddies I know, Darryl, I speak to a lot of Americans, this is all true. In the shopping malls, they're Israeli selling products, and there's something going on.
Well, one of the things that's going to happen from that is that these people have probably getting high-powered weapons of some sort. The Israelis have a clandestine means of getting whatever equipment they want into the country, and then they've got the Sayanims who are signing up for this stuff. Clearly that all the major cities have been indoctrinated into going in and doing military training. That's been going on for a few years, in fact. The fact that they're back in the country en masse, look what happened in Katrina. How many Zionist criminals came out with machine guns onto the streets of New Orleans? I mean, we're talking about foreign nationals, Israelis, walking around with automatic weapons in an American city after that hurricane. What that told me was that they had an infrastructure in place ready to go at a drop of a hat to bring any kind of violence to bear on whatever situation they wanted to apply it to. And that's what I'm seeing here. I'm seeing the preparation for that. And, there's a couple of...
Darryl, you look at any of the mainstream newspapers online, like most people do now. Very few people read normal, maybe a local newspaper, but occasionally I get an International Herald Tribune and see what's going on, but normally you read online. And if you go from the Washington Post, the Irish Times, the Financial Times, maybe not as much there, but any CNN, ABC, and every day there's a story about anti-Semitism, absolutely every day. So, yep. They're looking for CNNs. The Jewish media, are absolutely doing the recruiting for them, saying, if you're Jewish, these anti-Semites are going to come for you, and you better sign up and you better help us, because remember, you can always come back to us, we'll always accept you. Free money, free housing paid for by the Americans.
Well, and that's right, and they still have the offer to go to Israel, and because every Jew has an standing invitation, and when they get there, they've already prepared a lot of housing, and they're starting to prepare more housing. These settlement expansions are continuing at full pace. A lot of it is being done with the money that has been stolen and hived off of the American economy. But, you know, their communities...
Well, come on, Dad. This is getting insane. I was just saying there, you know, this guy is Jewish Congressman Cantor, going with 24 of his buddies to over to Israel next week, because he thinks Obama's being too hard on Israel and Palestine isn't doing enough. I mean, the problem is Palestine. The Palestinians aren't doing enough, Dara. I mean, can you believe this?
They can't even feed themselves right now. You know, people don't... And you said it. They have no medicine. They've got no recourse. They're in big trouble, that population. And, of course, more and more people are paying attention to it, but it doesn't seem to be coming to anything. All of our efforts don't seem to be... We're exposing them. Let's face it. More and more of the world is finding out just what criminals the Zionist Jews are, but it's not changing things on the ground for Palestine, is it? And it's not changing preparation of these Israelis to do the land grab in Lebanon up to the Litani River either. They're preparing this stuff right now, and we're not stopping their actual work on the ground.
Well, listen, I know the apparently they're now taking over the anti or the protest boycott Israel movement. They're all over the movement now, and I think that they're going to make a mess of that. I don't know. I'll say one thing for Averro. He does often say, "Stop sending the checks. Stop sending the checks to these people." You know, this being set up for the. You know, this is the only racial state that will exist, Daryl. I mean, I'd say within the next generation, there won't be many Palestinians unless there's something. The Zionist state of Israel is wiped off the map. There won't be any Arabs. There won't be any Christians. I mean, the number of Christians now in the Middle East is not, or in Israel, isn't growing, it's diminishing, and you know, and the Christians are complaining, but they're a bit pissed off with these Orthodox Jews spitting on them all the time. I mean, they look at them as cattle and they spit on them.
They do, and the fact is, when I had that conversation, I've had three of them with the Bishop of Jerusalem. He's gone from a 30,000 member church down to 2,000 or 3,000 Christians left in his religious order of Christians. And so, but most people don't realize. No, we brought this up before that a lot of Palestinians are Christian.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, everybody seems to think, and they don't want that out. They don't want the idea that Palestine being abused as actually has a, 20-30% of their populace is not Muslim, but in fact Christian. That is almost never reported because they know that wouldn't play well in Middle America.
Oh, yeah.
However, it's a fact. And, I see things hotting up everywhere. And goodness knows, I don't want to be a bearer of bad tidings here, but September, October does not look rosy. I'm certainly getting I'm getting the heebies here, Noel. I really am. I don't know what's coming. You know, I'm sitting here trying to put out my feelers with people I know. I talk to you. I read everything. I have calls coming in from people, and there's no way to tell exactly what's going to happen. Except I can tell you what we're in for is going to be a very bumpy ride. That's what I can say without any worry of making a mistake on that prediction. It's going to be bumpy. And they're going to use a lot of deception here. And I think this bird flu slash swine flu slash Zio swine lab flu, I think this thing is going to be the vehicle they use in America and possibly Europe to get everybody in line. You know, they're going to, if you don't get that vaccination, they're going to come for you. And they're going to use it as an excuse to arrest. They're going to use an excuse to round you up. And, because that's what they're looking for. They're looking for a good way of doing this in the name of something that doesn't blame them. You see, if the government just gets tyrannical without any excuse, then everybody's going to turn on them en masse. And there's enough guns in America that would be a problem for them. But if they do it in the name of a public health emergency, that's everybody will be running around going, oh, my God, you know, what if my neighbor doesn't get the vaccine? He'll get me sick. And they'll start telling people, anybody who doesn't get a vaccine is a threat to you, and make sure you tell on them. I can see it all. I can see it coming.
Yeah, the snitches, absolutely. Darren, what do you make of this? Murdoch is going to make everybody pay to watch his websites.
Well, I put that up on the site. I just have to wonder who the hell would pay for it. I mean, what kind of imbecile is going to actually go in their pocket and pull money out to give him for the news stories he puts out? And you know, my little comment on the website was that, you know, his publications have never been free. They've cost us dearly. They really have, because many people who follow Fox News and follow B Sky B's programming and the rest of it have been propagandized for generations. And, you know, this guy's empire is huge, and it is clearly one of the most powerful Zionist tools in the world. And the fact that he says he's going to charge for it, I don't know what that means. I don't know. I don't think it really matters that much, because I think their plans are so advanced that, you know, who the hell's going to be buying his newspapers after this stuff really hits the fan?
Well, you know, he's not reporting the stories up on the story under that story, Darren, on IamTheWitness.com is the story of these. I was listening to it this morning on the 6 o'clock news. These poor four American hikers, apparently hikers, that crossed into Iran. Now, the fourth guy didn't go, he was feeling sick that morning, apparently, according to the Brown Broadcasting Propaganda Corporation. And apparently now breaking out in Israeli news, it was, you know, in Haaretz and on the IsraelNationalNews.com, which, you know, these are well-known Israeli newspapers, that the three guys who are actually captured are Jews, American Jews.
Which would make sense. They probably were linking up or doing something, or maybe they were using it as a pretext.
I don't care what they were doing. This was in Haaretz and quickly off. By the time I got the link to go to Haaretz, it was already off. Now, this is another thing I want to just mention. I've noticed in the last 2 weeks from several places I access the internet that when I go to Haaretz, they send me, I get redirected to a virus. Malware, which my antivirus picks up, but it's funny, it's always on the Haaretz. It's not, what I said today was they obviously are picking up IPs that link to different things on the internet, but I don't know if anyone else has noticed that when you go to Haaretz, they ship you off to some virus site. Well, that's what I noticed. But you know, this was not picked up, Darren. I looked on CNN today and Fox and a few other, and this wasn't mentioned. You know,
now,
if there were three American Christians, three American blacks, three American Irish, three American Mexicans, this would be all over the news. The bad Iranians, not a word now, because now, they're Jews, Now, why would three Jews deliberately cross into Iran? No, there's a lot more to this one, Darren. We'll keep everyone posted on it.
Well, you know, there's a provocation involved here, and it seems like, you know, when they went into southern Lebanon under the pretext of recovering two soldiers who had been, they said, kidnapped as they went over into Sheva Farms region of southern Lebanon, it was a fraud. They set that whole thing up as an excuse to go into that area, and then of course they used it as a reason to invade. What are we going to find out next is that that they use these American tourists, so they're calling them, or hikers they're calling them, as a pretext to say, you know, give those people back, or we're going to do such and such. You don't know, because basically we're only going to get their spin from, you know, on the mainstream. Now, of course, it's our job, yours and mine and others working for the truth, to bring out the facts, and that, like, that these people were American Jews, and what the heck were they doing at the border of what were they doing in Iraq in the first place? I mean, when was the last hiking vacation you took to Iraq?
Darren, listen, Darren, we need to talk about finance. We call this end of part one, and we'll come back with Mohammed Refik.
Okay, give me
Darren.
Hold on, Mohammed, are you there? Yes.
Okay, just cut out there for a second. One second. Put you back. I'm not. You cut out.
That money.
Sorry, Mohammed. Now, Mohammed, listen, I have to ask you, can you explain to us about China? All I'm hearing is, you know, China holds 1.8 trillion Federal Reserve greenback, useless dollars. What does that mean in the whole scale of things?
Well, the dollars primarily are not very helpful to everybody else. I think just addressing your question slightly differently there, Noel, it's very important to recognise China is only spending on China. You know, China is not going to pull the world out of any form of economic quagmire or problem or swamp. China's going to look after China. So that's the first thing. That's the government onus out there. They're not helping anybody else. Also, at the moment, China is desperately trying to get rid of dollars and hold on to other currencies. It's doing FX trades where at favorable rates, it's just saying, we'll take sterling off you if you want to take our dollars. They're trying to get rid of dollars everywhere. They've even been buying up real assets like gold. They've been buying a lot of gold recently.
Everything, yeah.
Yeah, and gold mines and companies and things like that. China swap it for the dollars because those assets are more likely to go the distance. The Chinese government is warning at the moment that the printing of dollars is going to cause, which has been occurring, and pounds for that matter, the so-called quantitative easing, the printing of cash out of thin air, is going to cause an enormous round of inflation very soon. So don't look for China for anything. In the overall picture of the world, it's only going to look after China.
About 2 or 3 weeks ago, I met my ex-wife, and she works for a certain oil company based in Africa. Obviously, she isn't, but she just said to me in passing, I said to her, "Oh, I see your company was bought for $4.4 billion by China, by a Chinese company." And she turned around, Mohammed and Daryl, and she said, "Well, you know, I'll be happy with that." And I didn't fully understand what she meant, and she explained it. That when she heard that she's been working for the company for 12 years, got shares every year, and she's now a millionaire. She will be more than a millionaire and get a nice payout. They are all very happy that, you know, the Chinese invested so much and that they're all getting payouts. So someone I know is actually going to make a million off China. Or the US dollars.
I can talk to that a little bit. Now, again, with China right now, is, as Mohammed said, is trying to use up these dollars to buy hard assets. But that's exactly what these bonuses are going to do. This implosion is not imminent. It's not going to happen the next 3 weeks. It's not going to happen the next month and a half, I don't believe.
Well, Darryl, can you talk about these bonuses? You know,
let me tell you why I think that we still have 6 to 8 weeks minimum and possibly longer. These bonuses and the Chinese are still trying to, while the dollar is still being accepted internationally as a currency, and it won't be probably, as Mohammed said, by the end of the year. But from now until the end of the year, all these major payouts that have been going on are going to be doing their darndest to be converted into something other than what they were, and that is dollars. Now, the Chinese have been going out and buying bauxite mines, and they've been buying even a little company that Mohammed and I have discussed many times, Lategra, is being eyeballed because they hold a bunch of potash up in Canada. We've got even companies like the Kinross, which is getting some big infusions of dollars for investment. My point is this: they're not ready to pull the plug until these big bonuses are able to be converted out of dollars into some other asset. The Chinese are doing it as well. In the meantime, it's my view that the Ponzi scheme controllers are going to try to make the dollar seem valuable, or at least as valuable as they can make it seem, so that these criminals can convert their dollars into something else before the final plug is pulled. Now, the day that plug is pulled, nobody's going to know it. It's going to happen on a day nobody expects it to happen. It'll just happen. And you'll wake up and it'll be a done deal, and it may be in 6 weeks, it may be in 2.5 months. But these people are all scrambling worldwide right now to find a way out of these dollar bonuses into euro bonus or into a mining operation, or there's just so many things. I mean, you've got all kinds of investments being done. But the Chinese themselves don't have the built-in internal demand to mop up a lot of their production. So they're in a pickle too, and I don't see them worrying too much about getting rid of some of their population either, because you know, Muhammad, you can speak to this, but there is an agenda of genocide here for both the Western world and I think the Orient as well. And the Chinese would feel just fine about getting rid of 200-300 million people, they're poorest of their poor. What do you think?
I think with my experience with China is it's a very interesting place. As you know, I've been there, Adal, and I found that the economy there at the micro level was very interesting. And the fact of the matter is that under communism, all those decades of communism, they encouraged self-sufficiency as the model. So, you know, it's very easy, although people talk about there being large amounts of job loss in China, it's not like here in the West where we have job loss. There, they just go back to the farm holdings, they go back to the life they had before, and they have, a bit like yourself, Dan, they've got the means to produce out of their own little bit patch of land. Someone will give them a few chickens to get the egg started, and someone will give them a sheep or something to get the lamb started. They'll be getting fish from the rivers. So they're very much a people that can adapt back into that way. The jobs were very transient. The economy had only been growing for 8 years. Those people had been living a different lifestyle entirely. To move back is easy for them. So although they're losing jobs there and there is no consumption, and that's a spiral going down, at least those people have got something to go back to. Here we don't have anything to go back to. We're left surrounded by an economic model that completely straps us for cash, the only means of obtaining anything.
That's right.
Why would we trust Chinese accounting? You know, this their phenomenal growth in the last 10 years. They sell us junk, and all this junk seems to be everywhere we get it. How do we know that these accounting are these official generally accepted accounting rules, or these are official communist Chinese given out? This is what we did last year. I mean, have we any idea what's really going on?
Actually, the Central Bank of China, in order to join the WTO, the World Trade Organization, had to accept having imposed upon it all sorts of methodologies for calculating different things, and they had to succumb to the way in which things were calculated in line with the World Trade Organization and these international kinds of organizations.
They're still fudging on their growth figures, and a lot of the stuff, especially in certain sectors where they have military involvement and their agricultural sector, and I will include their mining sector. Some of the figures coming out of these different places are not necessarily trustworthy, but neither are they trustworthy coming out of the United States.
I think that's the point, Darren. You see, one of the things is that they have these foisted upon them. This is the methodology you will use. And then as they start adopting it, we find Bush doing things like M3 is classified and we're no longer publishing that for the United States. At that point, the Chinese government just turned around and said, you've told us we've got to produce these numbers faithfully so that people can inspect them and make international decisions. You yourself are actually not publishing your own public accounts. You're also fudging numbers left, right and centre. You're interfering in your stock market. So don't expect us to be the only people playing the straight deck. So yeah, I would agree with that, Dale. They've just joined in with everybody else and said, we consider these numbers politically sensitive, or we don't want people in Kellogg Brown and Root to understand what our real holdings are in this particular venture over here, so we'll just publish rubbish. And they're all at it. They've just joined in the lies because everybody else was lying. But in the first instance, they joined in good faith and they did actually produce proper Nimbus. Why be the only man at the card table? If you're playing cards with seven other guys, and they've all got cards in their socks and up their sleeves, why would you be the only man playing straight at the table?
I think this is another impression. You know, when we talk about China, we kind of associate China with 1.3 million people. What we're not associating real China is with Zionism. The leadership of the Communist Party are more Zionist and more capitalist than the Americans are.
Yes and no. Well, I can answer some of that. Yes and no. And we do know that there has been a Jewish participation in Chinese activity since Mao Zedong's days. And we know that has continued right up to the present. And we also know that there are middlemen, some of them going into this country under the guise of being religious leaders, including the Lubis, who are building centers across China. Now, I don't even know they have enough Jews to work in these centers, these Lubavitch centers, but they're building them in Nanjing.
Darryl, they're recruiting them in shopping malls in the U.S.
Well, you got to figure, they've got a brand new center in Shanghai, huge center. They spent tens and tens of millions on it. They've got one in Nanjing. They've got one, of course, outside of Hong Kong. They've had a Hong Kong Lubavitch center forever. They've got one in Macau. They've got one up in Beijing. Now, the Chinese are scared to death of Falun Gong, and they're scared to death of Christian priests, but they've got Lubavitch running around the country at will. Of course, you know as well as I do that Mao's whole army structure was supported with Western money, and it was they pulled the rug out from under Chiang Kai-shek, and it was the Zionist Jewish money that did that. And of course, the whole place went communist, and that was part of the plan. And you know, this stuff is not well known, but it's a fact. And you know, these people have been working behind the scenes forever. What's your take, Mohammed?
Well, we certainly know that the single biggest corruption that ever ventured into China was the opium trade, and the opium trade, which caused abject misery, poverty, and large-scale death in China prior to the wars with the British, had all been under the Sassoon family, but was Jewish involvement. People say wrongly that the British sold drugs to the Chinese. Actually, it was the Jews, and they since working that corruption, obviously had all of their feelers out across China. They had they were in the trade routes and everything like that, and they got the addict. And when you look at the history, that was all done to repatriate silver, because so much money had been spent in China buying tea that we didn't actually have any silver left in the UK to keep buying off them. So we had to get the silver back, and Sassoon came to the British government and said, if you back me on this, I'll get everybody addicted, I will only sell opium for silver, and I'll get every scrap of silver back off them. And that's what he went out and did. So since that time, the Jews have been deeply involved out there, and it's about time that the Chinese people realized who the real perpetrators of the opium wars were.
Well, you know, the fact of the matter is that now, I don't know if I still am, but I was unblocked in China. I was blocked up until about 2 months ago. And 2 months ago, I had a Chinese listener to the French Connection who used to have to go through anonymous entry into my site. He actually could go in straight in. So maybe China is waking up to these facts. The simple truth is that their triad gangs, closely associated with Macau and Hong Kong, have always had a lot of had their tentacles into the country itself. And you know, this goes back, as Mohammed said, to the Sassoons and to the Rothschild family, as well as the Delano family. And American listeners will remember the Delano family from Franklin Delano Roosevelt. So you know, these clandestine Jewish families, such as Delano and Roosevelt Rosenfeld from the Holland Dutch Jewish Sephardic line. And so yeah, I mean, the Chinese are in it too. They've got their own problems, and how much of it is known about by the government, or how much of it's participating stated in is still a work in progress as far as my research, but I certainly know it's substantial, and it will be continued to be substantial, especially since the Rothschild Bank about 3 years ago got the right to be the only trading bank in that country to do foreign exchange and trading directly. Everybody else has to go through a Chinese intermediary, and the Rothschild Bank doesn't. So this is par for the course in my view, Mohammed.
Yes, it's quite sickening the influence that the Rothschilds have got out there. I have tried to warn some fairly well-connected people in China about letting them in, and I've told them that, you know, just by letting them in and then giving them an advisory role to the Bank of China, that, they'll be back on drugs and suffering war and pestilence in no time. I was watching that clip on the site now from The Merchant of Venice. That was, strangely enough, that was the book which I did for my English literature O-level, and I also did it for the school play, through the lighting and sound in the school plays. I remember a huge amount of that play word for word, and, you know, people, they're trying to portray this idea that, you know, the Venetians were locking up Jews because it wasn't safe to have them on the streets. I think those people understood what it was all about. You know, you do have to limit the activity of these people, because all that comes in their wake is misery, suffering, death and slavery.
That's right. And illness and genocide and everything else.
It was an interesting video. IamTheWitness.com. You will get little odd bits there. I did like that. That was a good video. I mean, that's mainstream, Mohammed. I mean, that's a mainstream production.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. That's the real Shakespeare.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the old bard, now they're saying he's an anti-Semite, and they want to limit
They want to get rid of the word Shylock from the English language, and it goes on and on. Not going to happen anytime soon as we educate the people as we go forward.
Yeah. It's also interesting that the FBI are now anti-Semites, apparently. There they go.
Myself and Daryl had talked about that before that they even said it. We said that, we remember that, Daryl, I think it was a Sunday. We said, yep. Now they blame the FBI for being... and I was thinking about that today, which is interesting. So they conducted a 10-year investigation, and to find out that Jews are... laundering money, racketeering, and dealing in organs, and all arranging things in hospitals in Israel, and the Israeli government are involved and whatever. And how long would it take for them to come out with it? Well, it wasn't us, you know, it wasn't me. It's a famous, very famous joke by an Irish comedian. He was a bit of a playboy. And he used to play around, and his wife used to catch him, and she'd catch him coming out of another woman's house, and she said, "I saw you with you were there with another woman." She said, and he'd say, "Hey, baby, who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes?" Something's going to give here very soon. This can't go on. This really, there's something.
Well, I'm worried that that the suffering, the level of suffering, is certainly going to get ratcheted up, and I have no way of ameliorating that, save the informing of more people. But even with people informed, the suffering is going to mount, and so what I recommend to people is to just prepare for this as best you can, but at the same time continue to inform. I mean, the website, of course, both the TIU and the French Connection have grown, but not nearly enough. We are a pure play here, and Mohammed, I'll give you an opportunity, as well as Noel, to speak to the idea that we've been the people here that have stuck to our guns and put the right information out, you know, and we have been veered off by certain subjects, but the subjects are always interrelated, and this is not a linear discussion of crime. These people have crime tentacles in almost every single bad event that you can think of, so and every deception without exception in this world. So you do meander from subject to subject, but as I said, Mohammed, to Noel in the first half of this discussion, one of the main main things we need to stick to is keep pounding away at the 9/11 event, because that's the one that we've got sussed out cold, and it's one they can't avoid. And it is one they're desperate to move people away from with all kinds of different nonsense and other things. And I can say the 9/11 is
well,
the one that...
Darrell, let's keep it on 9/11. I have a question, a direct question for Mohammed. Mohammed, what is your impression of Ron Paul? We're talking about 9/11 here. I'm also talking about Ron Paul and all of the Fed. What do you make of this guy?
One of the problems that we have with you know, a lot of the Ron Paul phenomena when it came up at the time, Darrell and I addressed that on several occasions, and that was to do with the fact that, you know, no matter who gets in the current political process, by the time they get into leadership, whether it's Obama, whether it's Ron Paul, whether it's whoever, it doesn't make any difference. By the time they get to the top, they will be so compromised that nothing's going to happen. It doesn't matter if Ron Paul actually knew the 100% truth on it and actually supported 100% truth. By the time he got into a position of being able to do anything about it, he would have abandoned it. They all would. It's just political expediency. There's a recognition now, I think, among some politicians that there is enough people at the grassroots level who understand about the truth movement itself. And, you know, it makes sense to appeal to that in the same way that people try to control the message for the various intelligence agencies by having the Alex Jones type spoilers out there trying to tell everybody that it's got nothing to do with the Jews and anyone blames the Jews for any evil in the world or anti-Semites. It's actually everybody except the Jews. It's the Gentiles.
It's the Arabs.
the Arabs. They own Hollywood.
The Arabs own everything. I've done the research.
Unbelievable. Absolutely. I mean, I'm just so blatantly wrong and so shockingly wrong. But, you know, we would expect people to try and soak up that political area too. Just coming back to what you were saying, Darrell, about meandering, you know, we don't really meander. What we're trying to do is demonstrate to people how many avenues and areas of our everyday life these people have perpetrated themselves into, management of it, influence over it, control over it. They're not content to just live in their own part of the world and have their own opinions and keep them to themselves, which they're welcome to do. No, they've infiltrated everybody's lives in so many different ways. And I think one of the points of what you're doing, Darrell, is when you're discussing, look, they're in common purpose, they're in this charity over here, they're in issue to do with the Federal Reserve Bank, they're involved in all these diverse things, to try and get people to realize they are everywhere, and they've reached everywhere because they have not been positively limited. Until such time as there's positive limits placed on what they can do, where they can go, what they can, who they can mingle with, what level of influence any group is allowed to have in society. Like the analogy you gave before, Darrell, if we went to all these different places and we found Mongolians there, yeah. Mongolians in every charity, Mongolians hiding in the legal process, Mongolians in the political process, Mongolians in all the political action committees, Mongolians in the banking system, Mongolians in the shore, if we found them everywhere, people would just be saying, what the hell is going on here?
I thought Khazaria was in part of modern day Mongolia. Seriously, from where Khazaria was on the map is now modern day Mongolia.
No. That's Georgia and Azerbaijan region.
We'll have to check that one up on the map. So.
No, and it's the steppes of Russia. It goes into Kiev and into the Ukraine area. That's actually
it was a big area.
Well, but the point is, you know, when we take a look at what they've been able to get away with by intimidation, by deception, by lies, by influence peddling and extortion, it is the most extensive crime network in human history by far, and it's the longest lived as well. However, there is an inflection point here that we've all been able to witness, and I think the cascading effects that I've been hoping for is beginning in many quarters. Albeit quietly for some people, they're still watching and witnessing the truth. And at some point, and it's my greatest hope, at some point we're just going to have a mass awakening of who these people are. Now, history says that this does happen. They've been kicked out of 100-plus countries and city-states in history. So those countries also had to have a mass awakening in order to bring that into place. That same thing can happen worldwide to them, and they know it. And they also know that if they don't get their own ducks in a row by the time, you know, October, November comes around, it may be their fortunes confiscated and them being frog marched into a FEMA camp. And that is a definite possibility. Now, Mohammed, I want to ask you before we call this a show here, what is it you see happening on the street level of people? I see a lot of anger. It's palpable in all directions that I look. But do you see an awakening of who the victimizers are?
I think that we've gone past the point that we needed to get it to, that we've persevered and pushed and pushed. And I'm quite convinced that we're now beyond the point of no return, as the saying goes. This is an information juggernaut now. It started off as a pretty small snowball, and not many people there to help get it moving. But now this is a real information juggernaut. This is just got so much momentum that anything that gets in the way of it just gets slapped down. I mean, this guy came out and said, I mean, FBI are anti-Semites. It just got laughed at all around the world at the speed of light. Everybody who read it, you know, kind of knew that these people are stupid enough to make a statement like that and arrogant enough. They came out with it, one of their flock came out with it, but the whole world is laughing at it, and all that they've done is ridicule themselves. They've proved us right. They've proved the people who say, you know, to be labelled an anti-Semite means you're a truth teller. You know, you're a truth teller, and it means that the one thing you're not is anti-Semitic. There may be a couple of people in the truth movement who go a little bit too far, but I think most people recognise that what we're looking at is, you know, a criminal group among them. There's a wonderful article on the Netzer Carter site about one of the first rabbis of their movement to get murdered by the Zionists. It's important to realise, you know, that there are Jews out there who've tried to stand up and prevent this from happening themselves and been murdered in the process. And we stand shoulder to shoulder with them. They're part of what we're about.
That's right. Well, I mean, you know, and I've had many people try to say to me, well, you knew this Jewish person in New York, and so you must be a bad guy. I'm going to tell you something. This person was nothing but kind, and I know that her involvement in this is only, it goes as far as her being duped. There is no malice of forethought in her actions when it comes to other people, because the person is too kind to have that take place. And I know you know, have mentioned to me on many occasions that in your lifetime you've met kind and generous people from every faith, including Judaism. So we're not out after people who didn't put their stamp on this. We're looking for people who were involved in the crime network or people who have now awakened to the facts and allow this to continue. Now, if Jews do become aware of this crime gang and are not helping to stop it, by association and by silence, they are actually signing their own warrant for condemnation. Because you can't know about this and not take an action. You can't.
But Darrell, I'll just clarify. I know one Jewish guy, and I think he's a great guy, and I'd protect him if anything went wrong. I won't talk for the rest of them. There's definitely a large percentage of Jewish people that profit from this, you know, whether it's Holocaust reparations or, you know, going along with La Kosher Nostra, and they profit from it. I actually met a guy the other day. He was Jewish. He was a gardener. I've never met any Jewish person that actually did any manual labor. It was the first guy I ever met. Would I trust him after talking to him for 15 minutes? I'm not so sure I would. I said I know one, so it's not every single one. A lot of Jewish people need to go out against Zionism. They don't need to be, you know, they don't need to be part of our movement, Daryl. They just need to do it for them, for themselves. We're already aware of them. We're telling them this is the time to do it. Or, you know, there will be roundups. They'll be rounding us up, or they'll be rounded up. It'll be one or the other, because this is going to blow one way or the other. And good people, Daryl, of all colors, of all religions, need to stand together and fight Zionism, which is not a religious monster, it's not a colored monster, it's a political movement of Rothschild that seems to be predominant in the world for the last, growing in the last 100 years, which can be easily documented. And most people are caught with the anti-Semite label, and they won't go any further. They will when they're on the dole queues. Mohammed said it, you know, the dole queues, people unemployment is going up. We'll have another, you know, 500,000 tomorrow if we believe the official numbers, which keep getting revised, Mohammed, downwards. The first quarter down 6.4%. You know, that's quite a correction.
Yeah. Well, yeah, gentlemen, we've been well over an hour here on this broadcast. It's actually going on for both parts of it to about an hour and 15 minutes. And because I've reached the end of what I'm able to do at the moment, I'm going to call this a file, if that's okay, with my guests.
Daryl, my last words are saying, you know, long live Palestine. Get the supplies into Palestine. You can't treat these people like a concentration camp.
I'm with that 1,000%. And you know something, this is the most oppressed and destroyed people on our planet, and they need everyone's attention, and they need everyone's best wishes for them to find solutions for themselves and their families. Mohammed, do you have a parting word?
Yes, just what we were saying in the last time that we spoke, Daryl, that we really need people out there to try and break past these artificial barriers which are created by these sponges, these internet sponges like Alex Jones out there, who are trying to stop people from getting to this information. We need the listeners out there to go and start making direct contacts, putting links on the internet, trying to get more people so that we can speed the rate up at which this juggernaut is travelling, and also add to its momentum. So we need people to really get this the links going out there and direct contact with people who maybe have never looked at it and point them in the right place in the first instance.
Well, I agree with all of those things, and I want to thank both of you gentlemen for taking part in this three-way conversation. This was not just a French Connection broadcast. This will be posted on the TIU network as well, because, frankly, you know, the discussions that the three of us have here are germane to all of the issues that are going on right now, and they need to be, you know, they need to be worked. We need to work together well, guys. We do. We there's so many subjects here, but we both. Noel and I have both done the work on our websites, and you, Mohammed, have been involved in researching this stuff for long enough that the three of us put together quite a broadcast, in my view. What do you think?
Oh, definitely. And one other point as well, actually, Dan, I forgot to add that you were both discussing previously. You know, I mean, I'd like to add my signature to the vote against the flu. I don't want anybody to become sick through catching the flu at all, but I really do believe people are putting themselves at a far greater risk from this injection. Just my knowledge of what mercury does as a poison, and the fact that they're now paying doctors £7 to do each one. They're up to no good. This injection is clearly no good. And whilst I wouldn't wish the flu on anybody, I really don't believe this is going to protect them from it.
Well, I agree with that. And I want to thank Noel for his help in getting this broadcast finished today. Ladies and gentlemen, my thanks go out to you listeners, and I would ask all of you please to pass these words of us three on to others and get people to come to the website. We need numbers. You know, this may not entirely be a numbers game because, you know, quality over quantity, but we need far more participation of the people listening than we presently have. So please help us in that regard. And until the next time, ladies and gentlemen, take care of your families, get your garden going, get your stuff all together, get your ducks in a row. And until the next time, this is Darrell Bradford telling you all, please be well. Bye-bye now.